I call the Senate Finance Committee to order. Today is Monday, April 26th. The time is 9:02. Please silence all cell phones. Present today, Co-Chair Stedman, Senator Wilikowski, Senator Olson, Senator Hoffman, Senator Von Imhoff, and then Senator Wilson. We have a full complement today. On today's agenda, SB 128, Appropriations Special, American Rescue Plan Act. Under bills previously heard, we're taking up SB 64 first, Shellfish Projects, Hatcheries, and Fees. This is the second hearing of Senate Bill 64. We heard public testimony on April the 5th. Our intent is to consider a committee substitute, cover fiscal notes, and look to the will of the committee. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Senate Finance Committee adopt CS for Senate Bill number 64, Finance 32-LSO421/B as our working document.
Thank you, Senator Hoffman, and I'll object for purposes of discussion. Ms. Shine.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Erin Shine. I'm staff to co-chair Bishop and the Senate Finance Committee. Version B of SB 64 before you removes the promotion promotion of aquatic farm products from the purview of Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute by deleting sections 7 through 10 from the previous version, version A. Version A had provided the additional powers to ASME board to market aquatic farm products in addition to commercially harvested seafood from Alaska. Currently, ASME's marketing activities are funded from the seafood marketing assessment under AS 1651-120, which is not collected from aquatic farms. Therefore, it's appropriate for the aquatic farmers of fisheries such as kelp, oysters, and crab to first be a stable market and over time establish a self-assessment to contribute towards marketing of their products via ASME before the provisions of the bill that were in version A become law. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Seeing no questions from the committee, I remove my objection. Any further objection? Seeing none, excuse me, Senator Wilson, would you cover the fiscal notes, please?
Yes, Mr. Chair. The first note is OMB component 2965, Department of Fish and Game, Commercial Fisheries. It is a zero note in outgoing years. This permit with application fee would give the department flexibility to set fees and regulation. Currently, the department sees that the current ongoing workforce is adequate to utilize the existing staff under the aquaculture section to administer this program and this proposed legislation. The next note is a physical note component number 2, OMB component 471, Department of Fish and Game, Commercial Fisheries, Entry Commission. This would create a new section in Title 16 allowing the creation of the enhancement similar to the salmon hatcheries. The Commercial Fisheries Commission, Entry Commission, currently issues special harvest area permits to the salmon hatcheries. So under this bill, there still be a zero note in outgoing years, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Senator Hoffman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee pass CS for Senate Bill number 64, Finance 32/LSO421/B with accompanying fiscal notes and individual recommendations from committee to the next committee of referral.
Thank you, Senator Hoffman. Committee passes. Bill passes out of committee. We'll take a brief at ease while we switch the chairs.
We'll come back on the record, please. The committee will now consider Senate Bill 128, an act making special appropriations relating to the American Rescue Plan Act. Here to present today from the Office of Management and Budget, Ms. Paloma Harbor, Fiscal Management Analyst. If she can come forward, she has a presentation for the committee. This will be the beginning of probably many presentations that we will have on this subject as the committee works diligently through this substantial appropriation bill coming out of Washington, D.C. to help us respond to the virus pandemic affecting the state. Ms. Harbor, if you could take us through the presentation, please, and then when you're done with that, if there's time allowed, which I'm sure there will be, it would be nice if you could give the committee a little heads up on some of the activity that has gone on in the House Finance Committee and their suggestions so committee members can start considering this subject here in a broader perspective than just what is going on at the table. And for those watching at home, we have to work with the House in coming to an arrangement on how we structure these a significant portion of these plan dollars in excess of $1 billion, and also with the administration. There will be three of us at the table, basically, working through this to come up with what is in the best interest of the citizens of the state. So, Ms. Harbor, if you could take us through your presentation, please.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Stedman and committee. For the record, my name is Paloma Harbor, and I'm the Fiscal Management Analyst with the Office of Management and Budget. Thank you for the opportunity to present to you on Senate Bill 128, which is, as you mentioned, a special appropriation bill for the funding that is coming to Alaska through the American Rescue Plan. It's specific to the funding that requires appropriation by the legislature. That does not include funding in the American Rescue Plan that goes directly to individuals, businesses, or tribal governments. So those are not included in the bill. I do want to mention that the first section of the bill is the more discretionary funding, and I've put that on the last slide, or the last couple slides. So we're going to start the discussion around the direct program funding to state agencies. That's a little bit more prescriptive in how it can be used. So included with the materials provided to you today was a three-page document with a header, COVID-19 response funding. And this has a little bit more detail on each of the items that I'm going to be speaking to very briefly. And then if you want even more details, it'd probably be best to bring the agency forward to present to you to talk more specifics on the programs.
Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When you say that the first, the direct agency funding is a little bit more prescriptive, can you explain that? How in other words, does this committee have any discretion on these first several pages of items that you're talking about?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, no. Well, not specifically. Once we accept the funding, once you appropriate it, and we accept the funding from the feds, we have to administer the program in the way that the feds prescribe. So if they say specifically the CDC funding for testing, they're giving us that funding to help schools reopen and scale up testing in underserved populations. So we have to use that funding for those purposes. Does that make sense?
Can you just follow up?
Just maybe as we're going through, because I think the thing that at least I'm interested in is where do we have discretion? And I know you said the last page or so we do, but maybe as you're going through, if you could just let us know what sort of discretion we have on how we can spend these items.
Thank you. Yes, I can do that, or I'll try. So
we'll go on to page two, beginning of page two.
Yes, I'm on page two. So also in the presentation are some, and on this handout, are some items that are not included in the bill that are in the American Rescue Plan, but we need additional information before we felt we could include it in the legislation or for appropriation. So I have those on my presentation so that you're aware of them, the public's aware of them, but they're not at this point in the bill. And I will note those as I go through. So in the Department of Education and Early Development, we've included in the bill in Section 3 funding from Institute of Museum and Library Services of $2.2 million and funding from National Endowment for the Arts of $758,700. And again, these are fairly prescriptive and they have to be used for specific purposes and or granted out in a particular manner.
Let's wait till she's done with the slide and then we'll go through the slide.
Okay.
If we could, please.
Okay, not included in the bill for the Department of Education and Early Development is the Emergency Education Relief Funds, for which we were awaiting further guidance from the feds on the state's maintenance of effort requirements. We did receive that guidance in the last week, and there was a call with the feds at the very end of the week. We're hoping to get additional clarification on what not meeting the maintenance of effort requirements would mean for the state. Also not included in the bill at this time is funding for the child nutrition program, which will allow the program to run through the summer. We just don't have the funding information at this point. Also not included in the bill for the Department of Environmental Conservation is a brand new program that was established in the American Rescue Program for low-income household water assistance. That is still being developed by the feds. Now included in the bill for the Department of Health and Social Services in Section 4 is funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or CDC, for COVID-19 testing at $22 million and COVID-19 vaccinations at $32.4 million. From the Administration for Children and Families, there is pandemic emergency assistance of $3.4 million to provide short-term non-recurring support to impacted families. And the Women, Infants, and Children program is receiving some benefit improvement funds totaling $1.2 million.
And we have questions from Senator Von Imhoff and then Senator Olson.
So thank you. So a couple, the first question I have on that first bullet point, education, you said Section 3. So I'm seeing this repeated throughout the bill, so I just want to get some clarification. So using this example of $758,000 for the State Council of the Arts, the bill says for fiscal years ending June 30th, 2021, 22, June 30th, 2023, June 30th, 2024. Mm-hmm. So does that mean $758,000 spread over 3 years or 4 years, or is that $758,000 each of those 4 years?
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, thank you for that clarifying question. That means that amount of money can be spent over that time period. Only once.
Okay.
Multi-year appropriation.
That's correct.
And there is no question from Senator Olson. Senator Bishop.
Well, I'm not.
You have a follow-up?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So it is, with this bill, is there a prescription of, like, we can choose if we want to do all of it 1 year or 10% each year and then a big chunk the last year? How does this legislature get to allocate, especially over the next 4 years, how we want to divvy that out?
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, again, those where we allowed the funding to be spent over 4 years, it was to try and align with the federal allowability on the time frame for the funding. But you would have to go program by program to determine how quickly the funding has to be spent. So specifically for this funding, these are going to go out as grants through education to these arts entities. The grants are probably going to be awarded in the first year, and then the entities have the 4 years to spend it on costs to promote the arts. Does that help clarify the question?
Is it where, Mr. Chairman,
go ahead.
Where's the money going to be parked for the 4 years? In essence, it's going to be, I'm guessing, a designated fund that this committee and the body can allocate and fund over the next 4 years. It'll just be parked in a place. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, it'll be in the appropriation to Department of Education. So it'll sit in the general fund, this federal, well, more than likely that we won't draw down the federal funding until we actually spend it. But it'll be a federal appropriation in the Department of Education, and they will make the grant awards to the entities that they grant the funding to. And then as the grant recipients spend down the money, we bill those expenditures to the feds. The feds reimburse us for those costs. And so the revenue will actually come into the general fund as the funding is spent over the next several fiscal years by the grant recipients.
Okay, thank you.
And as a follow-up on Senator Von Imhoff's question, just for clarity, the legislature then could, say, appropriate $250 million this year, another $250 million next year. We don't have to do it in a single appropriation within the next several months. We have time to do this. Is that correct?
Chair Stedman, specifically for some of these programs, and again, program by program, it differs, we have timelines where we have to get the money out as grants to these entities. So if we get awarded from the Fed $758,700 and we don't have an appropriation to grant out that funding to those recipients, then we can't give out those grants. And so they may not give us the funding. Does that make sense? So it is dependent on the program. We have to have the full appropriation in order to grant out the money.
But the question is, do you need the full appropriation in the first year, or can we appropriate it over the next 2 years with a life, I think there's a life of this, what, to 24? What flexibility does the committee have?
And I can go through each of these with the agencies and verify, but I am fairly certain we need the funding in year one in order to make the full allotment of grants in year one.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Then why do you have in your bill June 21st, June 2022, 2023, and 2024?
That is, through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, that is so that their grant recipients have that time frame to spend the money. So it's like those school district funding. We give out the grants to the school districts, and they have 3 years to spend it, that's my understanding, the federal funding. And then that's just the way the funding works. They have 3 years to spend it, but we award it all in year one. And we can't award it if we don't have an appropriation for it.
I understand that.
Okay.
Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Paloma. That you probably is going to be a question for a specific agency, mm-hmm. And I took that note down. We'll probably have them back. On the child nutrition, currently that money will run out. We won't have it for this summer. Is that correct? We're waiting program information. Because last year, the schools were able to continue throughout the summer delivering meals around the community. Is that what that child nutrition program funding would be for again this year?
The Chair, Senator Bishop, yes, that is correct. That funding is to allow the program to continue through the summer.
Thank you.
Senator Wilkowski.
Yeah, thank you. The education and early development, you said you had a meeting with the feds last week about maintenance of effort. Can you tell us about that conversation?
Through the chair, Senator Wilkowski. Yes, it was the feds put on a call for all the states to listen in on the guidance that they released middle of last week. And they tried to answer questions. Not all of the questions were able to be answered on the call, and they did say they would get back with more information. So it was mostly just a walkthrough of the guidance on how to calculate the MOE. Some good information that came out in the guidance was the fact that as soon as we know we can't meet MOE based on an appropriation, the appropriations made, then we can seek a waiver. So we now have clarification on the waiver timeframe. But again, and it did provide some additional information on what they'll consider when they review the waiver requests, such as significant fiscal constraints in a given state. But there are still some questions left unanswered.
Okay, that subject Senator Wilkowski will be coming back to the table. We need to check on the maintenance effort dealing particularly with the university budget reductions and the impact we have. So we're waiting for OMB to let us know when they're ready to come to the committee and have that discussion. And I've expressed the sooner the better because of the time frame. Senator Von Imhoff.
Okay. So I just want to make sure I fully understand what's happening here, because the state of Alaska is getting $1,019,000,000 that we can allocate. We, as in the administration and the legislative body, there's a little bit of money for local fund relief, local fiscal relief fund, and capital projects. Then there's almost like another $1 billion being put into probably 30 different buckets. Are any of that other $30 million going in direct buckets, is it in this bill at all?
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, that's what I'm talking about right now, is all those little grant fundings from the federal government that are going to various state agencies.
Okay, so, Mr. Chair, so if we have, for example, $358 million going straight to the elementary and secondary school emergency relief fund, do the people at this table get to allocate that $358 million and we get to decide how the school districts allocate it?
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, no. The federal act that awarded the funding specifies that it has to be distributed as Title I, in accordance with Title I, to the districts. So it'll follow that federal formula for distribution.
Correct. So follow-ups?
Yes.
So we have $45 million going to child care stabilization grants. It's going directly to the Department of Health and Social Services. Do we at anybody at this table get to direct that $45 million, or does the Health and Social Services Department do that?
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, Health and Social Services will do that based on the guidance provided by the feds on who are qualified child care providers and how that funding is supposed to be distributed.
Follow up?
Yes.
Thank you. So today we are talking about this green part, $1,019,000,000. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, that is the last slide of my presentation, second to last slide of my presentation.
No. Mr. Chairman, yes. You just said on slide two that you talked about Section 3 and Section 4. You are mixing in your slides money that we at this table can allocate and money that we cannot.
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, this committee appropriates the federal receipt authority for all of the funding in all of those buckets. I am talking about the detailed buckets like the child care stabilization funding and others. You also get to appropriate the funding for the $1 billion discretionary funding that's coming to the state. That one, you have more flexibility in how you appropriate it than the rest of the funding.
So let me try to explain this a little bit for the public that doesn't have the data in front of them. We have a couple of $1 billion sitting here. We actually have all committee members and the public has a color-coded chart showing that there's basically three big buckets that we have quite a bit of control over here in the legislature. The $1,019,000,000 in state fiscal relief, $230 million for local relief fund, and $112 million for capital projects. And there's a little bit some restrictions. All of the rest of it, all these rest of these buckets are pretty much tied up and directed with directions from the feds to receive the money. But we have to, as the appropriators, have to appropriate the money for the executive branch to expense it. So some of these items that we're talking about in the beginning of this presentation, frankly, are more informational. We don't have much control over it, but we still have to have it in an appropriating bill to allow these monies to flow to the citizens of the state. We will be taking up quite a bit of discussion on the areas in which we have substantial appropriation flexibility, and again, that's that $1,019,000,000, the $230 million, and the $112 million. So those areas are the ones we're going to be paying a lot of attention to. Again, some of these areas are well, half of the money is very restrictive and dictated by the feds, and we are basically the rubber stamp to allow the administration to receive those monies. So we'll try to have that pointed out as clear as we can, and hopefully we'll move beyond the areas of less or more restriction, and over the next several days spend a considerable amount of time on areas where we actually have more appropriating ability and decide when and where we want to spend those funds. Does that help to lay out a little bit there from OMB? Did we have other questions on slide number two? And then maybe just as a heads up, can we, Ms. Harbor, when we get to the area where we have more discretionary control, double flag that for us. Senator Wilson.
Yes, Mr. Chair. My question is actually along the lines of your previous comments. So I guess, is this still around May 10th where we're still going to get the full guidance, or is this sort of where we're at right now with the current guidance that we have here?
Through the Chair, Senator Wilson. So yes, May 10th is when we anticipate, or it's the deadline for Treasury to release guidance on the $1 billion discretionary funding and on the a little bit less discretionary funding to the local governments and the $112 million in capital funding that was referenced previously. So we are anticipating more guidance by that time frame. Sure. This is what we know at this point in time. And on these programs, these kind of non-discretionary grants to agencies, the guidance has been trickling in. Like last week, I found out some more numbers for things that we didn't have in the bill.
Follow up.
What's the probability of the guidance changing in the current packet that you laid before us?
Through the Chair, Senator Wilson, it changes daily. We get more information. So hopefully it will just simply be things that we can add to the appropriation list. Not this should stay fairly solid at this point.
Thank you.
So again, we have more control over your green area, your upper right-hand corner. We'll spend some time on that, and we'll have to work some of those issues out with the other body. We have other questions on slide number two. Any clarity issues?
Just a comment. I think that, yes, just to reiterate, when you get to, I'm assuming we're doing a sectional after this, that when you get to each section, then please say mm-hmm. whether this is part of a direct grant to the department or whether this is discretionary, because unfortunately it's not clear yet.
Okay. Well, we'll make sure it's clear in the end, because we don't want to miss any of our authority here at the table. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Under the last category for health and social services that are included in the bill, the first bullet point relates to $22 million for COVID funding and testing. But in parentheses, you have underprivileged testing. Mm-hmm. What is the definition of underprivileged testing?
Through the Chair, Senator Hoffman, thank you for the question. And I should have, I was just reading this, and it actually is underserved populations is what they say in the federal guidance that we have right now. And as I mentioned, even this is pretty broad, and hopefully by the time the funding comes into health and social services, they'll have a definition of that from the feds. But at this time, that's all I know.
Is, Mr. Chairman, is that underserved for testing
mm-hmm.
only? And why do we have so much money still for testing and only an additional $10 million for vaccinations? It seems as though the I understand the testing continues, but even in this building, the testing procedures are changing.
Mm-hmm. Through the Chair, Senator Hoffman, these allocations are what were in the American Rescue Plan and how the feds are distributing them based on that. They put $22 million, as I mentioned, to Alaska for COVID testing to help schools reopen and scale up testing in underserved populations. That's what I know on this subject. And then, as you mentioned, there is additional money for COVID vaccinations, but it's actually $32.4 million. So they are putting a considerable amount towards vaccinations as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any other questions on slide number two before we speedily go on to slide number three? Slide number three.
Okay. Let me get caught up now. Okay, slide number three. So all of health and social services direct program grants that are not necessarily discretionary, they are very specific in their usage, are in section four of the bill. So if you're following along, section four of the bill. So I've just spoken to three of them. There are also, I did a little copy and paste error apparently. There is also child care development fund grants of $28.4 million, child care stabilization grants of $45.5 million, child abuse prevention funding at $291,000, mental health block grant funding of $3 million, substance abuse block grant funding of $4.7 million, low-income home energy assistance program funding of $23.7 million, and then various grants under the Older Americans Act and their families funding of $7 million. And then pandemic EBT administrative grant funding of $768,400.
Okay.
Not included in the bill at this time for the Department of Health and Social Services because we are awaiting additional information, but that we anticipate to come in from the American Rescue Plan, is some child care assistance program funding, where we're awaiting some state match requirement guidance, home and community-based services enhanced federal participation, which again, we are waiting for additional match requirement guidance, and supplemental nutrition assistance program administration grant increase, where we're awaiting some funding and program information.
We have Senator Hoffman, Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The largest section under the grants, specific grants, you have child abuse prevention funding at a little under $300,000. Is there a formula that's going to be followed on the distribution of these dollars, or are high areas of child abuse going to receive special attention?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, I might have to defer that question to the Department of Health and Social Services. All I know is this amount for the state grant program under Section 106 of the Child Abuse Prevention and Treatment Act. I don't have any more information besides that.
Is the department online?
No.
Okay.
This is kind of an introductory here. Okay. We've got a lot more detail to go into.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I think you'll see, like on this particular item, it's listed in that orangey colored area under Health and Human Services. So I think when we go forward, we might be breaking this apart into areas, as an example, that are being currently discussed that we don't have very much, if any, discretionary control over, and then the areas where we do have discretionary control over, which is in your green area. We'll also, just as information to the committee, and we'll have some discussion of using this bill and this process as informational, and the appropriation process in the end rolled into the operating budget. So this bill will most likely not, we will be not taking action on it, but we will be working it and then taking the areas of action out of it that we want to do and put it in the operating budget. This is what the current thinking is, I think, in both bodies. Senator Bishop.
Thank you. Ms. Harbor, would you be willing to take a stab at the GF match in the three areas under health and social services, or is that too much of a leap of faith at this point?
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, I would not be willing to do that. I do want to mention it's more than just a state match requirement concerns. So for the child care assistance, the act actually changed the way they calculate it, so we need more information on that. On the home and community-based enhanced federal participation, it requires some expansion of the services we provide or some additional commitments by the state that have a fiscal consideration before we can get that enhanced FMAP, and we're just waiting for additional information on what those requirements are.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions on page number three, page number four?
Okay, so included in the bill for the Department of Labor and Workforce Development in section 5 of the bill is some higher education emergency relief funds to the Alaska Vocational Technical Center of $441,000. Half of this funding must go out to students as grants. And then a capital project for the unemployment insurance system modernization funding of $6 million. For the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, included in the bill in Section 6, is an emergency management performance grant of $882,300. Not included in the bill for the Department of Revenue is funding from the American Rescue Plan for Alaska Housing Finance Corporation grant programs. Those were submitted to the legislature previously as amendments to the operating capital budget, so they weren't included in this bill, so that we didn't get duplicates. Included in the bill for Department of Transportation and Public Facilities in Section 7 is funding from the Federal Transit Administration, totaling $6.6 million. Not included in the bill for the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities is funding that we anticipate coming from the Federal Aviation Administration for airport rescue grants. We're awaiting funding and program information. Included in the bill for the University of Alaska in Section 8 is higher education emergency relief funds, estimated to total $30.8 million. And again, half of that funding must go out to students as grants.
Okay. Any questions on number four? Number five.
Okay, so number five is where we get to funding that's a little bit more discretionary. This is referred to as the Coronavirus State and Local Fiscal Relief Fund section of the American Rescue Plan, or SLRF. Is how we've been referring to it. In that section is a specific set aside for capital projects funding of $112.3 million. This is a placeholder in the bill. It's section 1H. It's a placeholder appropriation included in the bill that will be refined once further guidance is made available, which we anticipate by May 10th. The Act states that the funding can be used to carry out critical capital projects directly enabling work, education, and health monitoring, including remote options in response to the public health emergency. Use of these funds do require an application to Treasury for specific projects. Initial indications from Treasury are that they may limit the usage to broadband projects. Also included in ARP under the SLRF section is some community pass-through funding estimated to total $185.4 million. These will be grants to Alaska communities defined in the Act as non-entitlement local governments and counties that will pass through the State Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development as grants based on the formula established in the Act and clarified by Treasury.
So could you Ms. Harper, could you clarify what a non-entitlement local governments and counties are?
Chair Stedman, the U.S. Senate did provide initial estimates on allocations for these non-entitlement entities, And it looks like the whole list is cities, so Alaska cities, Adak City, Akiak City, Akiak City. And it's defined.
That's fine. It's a pre-described list.
That's correct.
Okay, that's fine.
And then counties are specifically Alaska boroughs. So they've defined them as Alaska boroughs.
Okay.
Any other questions? Oh, sorry, I forgot to progress.
First item, the $112 million before Co-Chair Bishop makes recommendations to the committee for appropriating this $112 million, you're saying that we have to wait till there's guidance?
Chair Stedman, that's correct. They're going to release the funding and solicit grant applications, and that solicitation will prescribe what types of projects we can submit for consideration. And again, based on initial calls with Treasury, they are at least now at this point interpreting this to be only broadband projects.
Senator Bishop.
Ms. Harbor, could you, when you're talking to Treasury, could you ask them what's the turnaround for these grants? Because you got 50 states you're going to be applying to Treasury for these grants, and I, you know, the federal government, they typically don't move at light speed. So, you know, it's a, I think it's a fair question, so we don't build people's expectations up, you know, so on a timeline for execution.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Harbor, you talked about the counties being the boroughs within the state. What about the unorganized boroughs throughout the state, which is the majority, actually, of the state? Are they eligible for these funds as well?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, that's correct. I'm sorry. The census areas are also on the list under counties.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions on this page? We go on.
Yeah.
Yes, Senator Von Imhoff.
So the $185 million community pass-through, is that anything that the ledge can direct, or does that go straight to the communities, similar to what happened before? What's the situation with that $185 million?
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, that funding is going to be allocated to communities based on a formula set out by Treasury, so we do not have discretion on how that funding will go out. I should mention that it will come out in two tranches. So the first appropriation will come out whenever they release this funding, and then a year later they'll get a second appropriation or allocation from the feds.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Which section of the bill is both of these in?
These are in section, sorry, I wrote it down on my slide, section two. Oh, sorry, section two is the funding for local communities. Section 1H is the capital funding.
In the future, it would have been helpful to have the sections in each of these areas so we would have known where to look.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions on slide five? Move on to slide six.
Okay. So slide six, now we're getting to more of the discretionary funding, the state funding from SLRF. This is the $1 billion that we've talked about, the green section on your spreadsheet that you're looking at. ARP outlined the following broad uses and restrictions for the funding, but we did want to note that, as we saw with the capital allocation, Treasury's interpretation of this could differ significantly from our reading of it, so just be aware of that. The American Rescue Plan specified that these funds can be used to cover expenses to respond to the public health emergency or its negative economic impacts, to respond to workers performing essential work during the public health emergency by providing premium pay, for the provision of government services to the extent of the reduction in revenue due to the public health emergency, and to make necessary investments in water, sewer, or broadband infrastructure. The funding cannot be used to direct or indirect offsets to a reduction in net tax revenue resulting from changing law, regulation, or administrative interpretation that were made at the state's discretion. I will specify that because if we had to change our tax laws to comply with the federal tax laws because of language that ties the two, that can be replaced. Treasury's already given guidance on that. And then it cannot be used for deposits into any pension fund.
Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you. Do you have any sort of guidance on what water or sewer infrastructure means?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, I do not have anything more than that, but we do expect that it's like village safe water program, clean water, drinking water programs, those types of things.
Okay, seeing no questions, we'll go on to the next page where you have suggested breakouts or allocations, I should say.
Thank you. Yes, section one of the bill is where we allocate the funding, this discretionary funding in broad categories. It's important to know that these categories, both the amounts and the percentage are, are not set in stone. We simply put them in here as the beginning of a discussion to be had between the administration and the legislature on what types of projects we might want to use this funding for. So section 1A is for emergency response costs, including addressing the domestic violence impacts of COVID. There's specifically 1B is $6 million for domestic violence and sexual assault grants. This funding in section 1A of $74 million can be used, as I mentioned, for emergency response costs and could also be used for individual security programs, food security programs. It's important to note that this funding, this $80 million, is bolstered by the direct funds to health and social services as well that they're getting from CDC. So those two work in concert. In section 1C, we have $150 million for Alaska tourism revitalization. This is to promote promote tourism and adapt services for the potential loss of another cruise ship season. This could also provide business and community relief related to the loss of another cruise ship season.
Let's have her go through the page first, please.
Okay. Section 1D provides $325 million for economic recovery and innovation. Again, this could be relief grants to businesses and organizations. It could be developing our workforce and preparing Alaska's economy for investment as we reach the end of the pandemic and return to normal life. Section 1E includes $325 million to build Alaska's infrastructure, water, sewer, and broadband infrastructure specifically. We would encourage leveraging local funds or other funds using matching grant programs for this. And then Section 1F and G are general fund offset sections where we would, under the federal guidance, we'd provide government services to the extent of COVID revenue losses. It's important to know that we believe we could potentially use the full $1 billion for government offset, but we are only proposing $139 million at this point in time. Again, these aren't set in stone.
Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you. Looking at the statute, the proposal, 1C, for example, and also 1D, $150 million for tourism industry of vitalization. 1D is $325 million for economic recovery and investment. Can you explain, or do you have any sort of definition on what those things can be used for?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, these are very broad and for a very good reason. We are hoping as we get federal guidance to better define what we can use this funding for. And we are working the administration is actively reviewing project ideas from the various agencies on what could fit within these categories. But as I mentioned, that could be tourism business relief grants. It could be community relief grants tied to losing another tourism season if they've lost revenue associated with that. It could be any number of things. I should have mentioned this, we don't anticipate that the legislature will appropriate buckets like this. We anticipate specific project appropriations as we develop those ideas between the legislature and the administration.
Okay, so we'll have to work on that.
Mr. Chairman.
The appropriation is $1,019,000,000. Could it be made in tranches over a period of 2 or 3 years, or could we do none of it and do some of it in October? What's the flexibility, or all of it immediately? What's the flexibility the committee has?
Chair Stedman, that's a great question. This funding is available through December 2024. So you do have the flexibility to determine how you and when you would like to appropriate that funding over the course of that time frame. And I should have mentioned, the Treasury may appropriate this funding to the state, or allocate the funding to the state in two tranches. They may give us only half this year and half in another year. We again don't know that yet. That's up to a determination by the Secretary. But we do have 4 years to spend it.
Okay. Senator Hoffman and Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That answered my question.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you. So if you recall, with the last tranche of money for businesses, particularly the small business grants of $290 million, it had gone to Department of Commerce and Economic Development in conjunction with the Alaska Industrial Development Authority to give out grants over the course of a couple months. It took a while for that program to kind of get up to speed and finally allocate the money. Do you see something similar? Who's going to be if it's going to be for tourism companies, let's just say, $150 million, who's going to be the keeper of that cash? Who's going to accept the applications? What's the portal? How are you going to determine who gets it? How much are you going to give to people and to organizations and so forth?
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, that's all of the things, all the questions that have to be answered as we develop a program. We would anticipate if most grants related to economic development or tourism or those types of things go through the Department of Commerce, so that's why we've established this appropriation under the Department of Commerce. But they could, depending on the way we develop it, they could work with ARDRs, regional development organizations, to distribute the funding to businesses in their regions. We could say we can't make everybody whole, so we're going to accept applications from everybody, and based on the demand, set the percentage that each business can be reimbursed based on the available funding and, as I mentioned, the demand. But those details have not been developed at this point.
As a follow-up to that question from Senator Von Imhoff, we may, upon further review in the interest of the committee, decide not to go forward with significant sums of this request until such time as those concepts are matured more and we have them in front of the table, and then appropriate them. We do not have to appropriate over the next couple of weeks and then find out what the structure looks like later.
Right.
So I think there's going to be some discussion and some interest in that as far as the timing, to make sure we try to minimize errors in structure and errors in targeted areas of the economy also. So we have a follow-up from Von Imhoff, and then we'll go to Bishop when she's done.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Chair Stedman. There were definitely a lot of lessons learned last fall, and I hope that many of them, if not all the bad ones, will not be repeated. I do hope that the administration and the legislature is working with the banks, with the other financial institutions, to try to figure out the best way. I, for one, would like to look at a targeted approach versus everybody gets a dollar. So I hope to be part of those discussions, Mr. Chairman, as I was part of the discussions last spring in this particular bucket. Thank you.
I
expecting a high level of interest from all committee men to be robustly involved in the discussion of this $1,019,000,000. And I hope, frankly, that that is the case. Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Harbert, back to page 5, we talk about the $112 million for, and it appears that it's going to be broadband-centric, but then we go back to page 7, and in the side, the $325 for Build Alaska Infrastructure Investment, we talk about broadband, too. So is that $112 embedded in that $325 number?
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, no. So the $112 is a set aside that Treasury put aside for capital projects, and they're defining what those capital projects can be used for. The $1 billion is separate from that. The $1 billion, one of the eligible uses for that is investments in water, sewer, or broadband infrastructure. So we get to decide how much, if any, we want to invest in that area, and what types of projects that would look like.
Okay, so we've got two areas that talks about broadband, one that's descriptive and one that's optional.
Through the chair, that's correct.
Thank you.
The rough guidance suggestions from the administration on this. Okay, we'll go to the next slide, please.
So included in the bill are some technical or special provisions that we wanted to discuss. Section 1, F and I are the unrestricted general fund offset sections. So the way we've set these up in the bill are that in FY21, there would be an unallocated increase in federal receipts, and then a corresponding of $120 million, and a corresponding unallocated decrement of $120 million in unrestricted general funds. And this would allow the executive branch to, from the effective date of this funding, March 3rd, through the end of the fiscal year, identify areas where we have unrestricted general fund spending that can be replaced with federal funding up to the $120 million without impacting federal match requirements or any other areas of concern. Then Section 1G is a provision to offset designated general fund revenue shortfalls in the budgets FY21 through 24, with priority given to areas where significant shortfalls would impact programs if they were not backfilled, and that's $19.3 million for that. Then in Section 9 of the bill, we include some language that would allow us to utilize the general offset sections from Section 1 if any of our specific appropriations, so let's say we decide to do a very specific appropriation for tourism businesses, if for some reason later guidance finds something that we did under there unallowable, we would be able to use our general fund offset to cover those federal costs that were found unallowable. So that's what that section does.
Okay, before you go to the next slide, on the last bullet point, mm-hmm. What kind of safety measures or safety parameters do we put on that so we don't have, frankly, just total ignorance of the federal guidelines and we just do something that's unlikely to qualify and then we just backfill it?
Chair Stedman, again, the legislature has the flexibility with this funding to decide how they want to spend it. So if you're very prescriptive on how you want to spend it, there is a concern that then it might be found unallowable at some point in the future. I didn't mention if we do a general fund offset, which is allowable, assuming we follow Treasury guidelines on the general fund offset, then you could use general funds for whatever programs you feel Alaska needs for recovery and relief without having to worry about the Treasury guidelines changing midstream.
And then one other point before we go to Senator Bishop. On the first bullet point, the $120 million for FY21, it's rather abnormal for us to give you that much flexibility. So, and these are kind of special circumstances mm-hmm. where we have FY21 coming to a close fairly soon. Mm-hmm. And if we don't secure this offset in FY21, is it my understanding that that door will close and we won't be allowed to back up and offset that $120 million, and there might be substantially more available in 22, but we're kind of on a timeline crunch to do the offset for FY21 expenditures after March 3rd. Is that correct?
Chair Stedman, that's correct. So this appropriation is strictly for FY21, and we would have to identify unrestricted general fund expenditures since March 3rd through June 30. That we could offset without, like I said, negatively impacting any state match requirements or maintenance of effort requirements within that time frame. And so if we didn't identify $120 million worth by June 30, then that funding, that federal funding, would not have been spent, and it would go to the unspent pot for next year.
And then the offsets for FY22, I would expect the committee to have an interest in being more specific on what they offset for FY22. Just so we'll work on that issue as we go forward. Senator Bishop.
You got it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Are there questions on the offset? It's kind of an important issue when we roll this proposal into the operating budget that we secure this $120 million offset for FY21, if the committee so agrees. And then it's a whole other separate discussion on what we want to do with that $1.019 billion, as referenced by Senator Von Imhoff, the potential pitfalls we could walk into by hastily moving mm-hmm. forward too fast. Any other questions on this one? We'll go on to next one. Page number 9, looks like it'll be a short
okay. page. Chair Stedman, you did ask that I discuss briefly what the other body has done. They did last Friday adopt a committee substitute for the operating budget where they rolled in the American Rescue Plan funding in both operating and capital spending of that funding into their operating budget bill. For the $1 billion discretionary funding, they included appropriations totaling around $630 million. $235 million went to offset unrestricted general funds in FY21 in specific appropriations, so in Department of Corrections, Department of Public Safety, Governor's Office. I don't have the full list with me, but $235 million was used for FY21 offsets. $175 million was used to offset unrestricted general funds in the FY22 budget, $92 million for debt service, and $83 million for targeted appropriations, such as public safety, legislature, judiciary. Again, I don't have the list in front of me. $6 million was used in FY22 for domestic violence and sexual assault grants. They did replace shared tax revenue in FY21 and 22 for commercial passenger vessel taxes of about $42.4 million, and for business fishing taxes in FY22 of $2.1 million. And then they established various relief grants through the Department of Commerce, $30 million for small business revenue offsets, $80 million for community revenue offsets, $30 million for nonprofit revenue offsets, $20 million for tourism promotion through ARDRs, or regional development organizations, and then $10 million to the Alaska Travel ATIA. I don't have the whole acronym spelled out.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can we get a copy of the document that she's reading off of?
I have a much prettier version that I can share with the committee.
We're going to ask our trustee staff to give us a side-by-side.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And I think we need to have some discussions on how we want to handle this $1.019 billion. And work with the House or the other body and the administration. As Senator Von Imhoff had mentioned, it would be very easy to miss the mark on this money. And I think it's unlikely that the legislature would give blanket appropriations not knowing what the structure would be. At least I wouldn't recommend it. We've got some work to do, but we've got a time frame crunch as of the hard deadline on May 19th. And we may want to have some consideration from committee members just to think about if we were to set a half or more of this money aside for a future gathering of the legislature sometime later this year after there's been more time and analysis done on how to allocate it so we get the maximum bang for the buck and we also have a clear vision of what the constraints are on these monies and we end up with a more targeted rescue plan and we don't end up making hasty mistakes because we want to get everything done and out of here by the 19th of May. So we have ample time to deal with this, these funds. Some states are dealing with it later this year or into the fall. It just happened to come in when we were in session. So it's just something that for the committee members to think about over the next several days as we try to come up with a game plan of what we want to do. And the impression I get, the more information is fed into the legislature administration, the more concern there is on making a hasty decision. That waiting a couple, 3 months might be in the best interest of the overall welfare of the people of the state. So we'll work that out amongst ourselves and decide what we want to do. We have any other questions, concerns? I'd like the committee members to think about some of these points and then get with my office on what you'd like to see. As referenced by Senator Hoffman, side-by-side, we're going to need that. We're going to need good clarification on what monies we have appropriating authority over, which ones are, frankly, we're just a conduit, a rubber stamp authorization. Get them off the table so we can concentrate on the area of our authority and look for recommendations. So just stuff to think about from committee members. And then the hearings that you'd like to have, if you want to have particular agencies come in and talk about stuff when they're ready. As referenced earlier in the meeting, we have asked as soon as possible to get the means testing on the schools to help us with our operating budget of K-12 and the university. So there's some things that are fairly time sensitive. So we have several requests in. It's just a matter of when they have the data and they're ready to go. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The concern that I have if we don't take action on a multi-year appropriation, when we're not in session and we come back for a special session, say in October, the administration has the RPL process to look forward to in appropriating these funds. I know we made some provisions in HB 76, but that bill has not passed yet. So I'm wondering if we can get a have dialogue with the third floor to make sure that our options are protected on this issue and assure us that we're going to work collaboratively with the third floor on this appropriation.
Those, that's a good point, Senator Hoffman. We do have language in the one bill. I referenced it has not hit the desk and has not been signed by the governor. Those conversations of having the RPL process not used for these large sums of money, that we have the full committee process and legislative process are underway with the governor as we or the administration as we speak, and they'll be a meeting
several meetings with him over the next several days, and that subject will be up. So we're going to need crystal clear clarity on that issue, or we end up having to protect our appropriating authority, which means we'd take action on the appropriation, which, if we get, if the clock is not in our favor, which it's not, increases the chance of making an error. So it's in everybody's best interest that we, that the legislature and the executive branch sit at the table together and work this process out. And there's, because not only do we have this or these items in front of us, this billion, 19 million, there's a high likelihood we're going to have a significant capital build project or capital appropriation project, capital appropriation coming out of Washington, potentially doubling our federal DOT. So not only do we need a good working relationship to sort through these funds, but we need to have that same relationship move forward to the next large appropriation bill, which we may be working on before next January. So all those things are on the table, Senator Hoffman. Clearly, it's in the best interest of everybody to work collaboratively through this process for the best interest of the citizens. And we're going to strive at this table to do that. But we're not going to close a blind eye to our appropriating authority. That won't happen. Senator Hoffman, any other questions?
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions, concerns? I'd like to thank OMB for coming forward. If you can put some of that stuff in some of the spreadsheets or list out or whatever you can do to help communicate with the committee members, it would be beneficial, and we'll work with your agency, to department, I should say, to get as much clarity as we can and move forward as fast as possible. And that concludes the meeting today. Tomorrow, 9 a.m., several bills up. Senate Bill 10, free reduced tuition for essential workers. Senate Bill 95, search and rescue surplus state property. Senate Bill 101, Advisory Commission on Federal Management Areas. Senate Bill 75, appropriation limit. That should be a very interesting and informational presentation by Senator Von Imhoff. It's appropriation limit. We are adjourned. See you at 9 a.m.